every so often, a movie about teenagers comes along that blasts past all the clichés, depicting this familiar universal experience, coming of age, in a way that seems believable and moving and funny and fresh. Off the top of my head, I think of Say Anything, Dazed and Confused, Rushmore, and this terrific new film called The Diary of a Teenage Girl. Set in the 1970s in a loosey-goosey, too groovy for its own good San Francisco, the movie tells the story of a 15-year-old girl named Minnie and her absolutely exuberant plunge into sexuality with her mother's 35-year-old boyfriend.
Is this what it feels like for someone to love you? Somebody wants me. Somebody wants to have sex with me.
The movie's based on a semi-autobiographical graphic novel of the same name, and the movie was written and directed by Marielle Heller, who became obsessed with the book when she first read it a decade ago. She was a stage actress who had never written or directed anything when she started this project, which is all the more amazing and made me all the more eager to talk with her. Welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
So the story is about Minnie, this girl really wanting and then owning her sexual awakening in this take charge way that I'm not sure I've ever seen or much seen or read even in fiction or in film. And of course, these days especially, more than was true even, let's say, 20 years ago, the idea of sex between teenagers and adults is strictly understood as victim and predator.
Right.
And probably usually is, but was sort of reimagining and subverting that template part of your intention?
Definitely. You know, the whole movie is told from the point of view of the young woman, and she doesn't feel like she's a victim. So we as an audience,
not for a moment.
Of course, when I look at the situation and step back from it, it's a situation where she's being taken advantage of. But I think often in real life, when someone's being taken advantage of, there isn't a clear bad guy and a clear victim.
Right. And did you audition actual teenagers to play this 15-year-old girl?
I only auditioned anyone over 18. I knew with the sexual content we needed an adult.
Yeah.
I think it's important that this is a movie that we aren't exploiting an actual teenage girl in the making of this movie. We're adults making a consenting film.
That's an animal line, isn't it? No actual teenagers were harmed in the making of this movie.
That we could put that at the end of the at the end of the film. She was 21, so no teenagers. Yeah,
the movie obviously was going to live or die on this performance more than most films have. Like, this has got to be great. So you talked to dozens, scores, hundreds?
I would say hundreds. I had all of these things in my head that this person had to possess. She needed to be able to handle the humor and the comedy of the role. She needed to have one foot in childhood and one foot in adulthood. She needed to at once look naive and uncomfortable and then really comfortable and sexual. You had to buy that she would grow up to be a comic book nerd, yet she had to be kind of strikingly beautiful, and she had to have no shame in exploring sort of the deepest, darkest parts of herself and doing that in a way that we could just sort of observe her just being alone in her room. So I thought it was an impossible task, and then along came Belle Powley, who's this incredible British actress, and she sent in an audition tape, and she just possessed all of those qualities that I wanted out of this actress. It blew my mind. And she doesn't look like a model. She has these striking blue eyes and this wide open face that you just want to look at. But she looks like us. She looks like a person.
She's not a Lolita vixen.
No, she's not a little Lolita vixen. She's not a little hottie. She's not someone with impossible beauty standards. When we see her really exposed in this movie, there's a scene where she's stands in front of the mirror totally naked and sort of examines her body. And it's a very normal girl body.
Yeah.
And there's something kind of amazingly revolutionary about just seeing a real normal-looking body. I think Lena Dunham has been so wonderful at the way she's done that with girls. But I think it's just – and she's skinny. She's still a skinny white girl, so we're not like pushing things on their head too much here.
Charlotte, Minnie's mother, is played by Kristen Wiig, and I want to play a clip. This is her and Minnie having about as much of a maternal heart-to-heart as Charlotte can muster.
When I was in high school, boys were all over me.
Like my dad?
Yeah. Yeah, your dad and I were crazy about each other. He wasn't messed up then. I mean, he was just a wannabe artist with a the world attitude. And he rode a Triumph Blackbird. Have I ever told you that? It's fantastic. And my parents hated him. It was so hot.
That was Kristen Wiig in The Diary of a Teenage Girl. There are some comic aspects to her character, but mostly she is sad and sometimes disturbing and, in any case, very, very imperfectly human.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know when you took this to Kristen Wiig, whom you knew as a person, that, oh, she can do this? Sure, she's comic, but she can do this.
Yeah, I knew that she was starting to get really excited about doing more dramatic roles, and I think she's such a fantastic actress. She can toe that line between the comedy and the drama in such a smart way. And I felt like she would be excited to play something that nobody's ever seen her in a role like this. She looks like she just stepped out of the 70s in this movie.
Yes. And so not only is it well written and skillfully staged by my what-do-I-know eyes and nicely shot and all that, but the mini character is a cartoonist, and there are a lot of these charming animated sequences, both mixed with live action and on their own, which work great. But thinking about you and being in your position, like that, doesn't that just raise the degree of difficulty even more crazily?
Apparently, if I had gone to film school, they would have told me all of these things about the things you should never do in your first film. You should never do a period piece, and you should never do a movie with a ton of locations, and you should never add multimedia.
Yeah.
And I did all of those things because nobody told me that because I didn't go to film school.
Plus, a little kid having sex with an adult.
Right. Add that into the mix.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing I did best, I would say, out of this whole movie was find incredible people to work with. My animator, who I worked with, Sara Gunnarsdottir, who lives here in New York and is an Icelandic animator.
So nothing but foreigners. An Icelandic animator, a Swedish and British actor.
Swedish and British. We had Belgian producers and Belgian editors. It was very international.
For this very American
scene. For this totally American movie. Yeah. It's so funny.
And still more amazingly, in addition to making this movie your first one, and it's terrific, you just had your first kid.
I did.
5 minutes ago, eight months ago.
Simultaneously. It's true. I got pregnant right after we wrapped, and I was basically pregnant the whole time I was editing the movie. And then he was 5.5 weeks when we went to Sundance with the film. Crazy timing.
And what does not kill you makes you stronger? Did you manage through that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I knew it was going to be like that the whole time I was pregnant, or I was hoping that was the best case scenario, was that my movie would get into Sundance and I would have to deal with how hard that was going to be.
Yeah.
And then we went to Berlin, to the Berlin Film Festival, when he was 8 weeks old. So it was crazy. I won't say it was easy, but this is female filmmaking. I was breastfeeding at my after party at Sundance and just going like, this is what it looks like.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is it.
So age 22. Three or whenever you got out of school and started being an actor to age 30 when you were just being an actor.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think, my future is I'm going to be an actor and I'll get parts here and there and I'll have whatever kind of career? Or did you have this giant brass ring dream that now this is the beginning of the fulfillment of?
I think I was always incredibly ambitious. Yeah, I always imagined that I would try harder and harder to do more and more creative things and to be creatively fulfilled. And I think the dream shifted as I recognized where the creative fulfillment was coming from. Acting and the parts I was getting became less and less fulfilling. It started to feel repetitive. It started to feel like I wasn't as part of the creative process as I wanted to be as an actor. At times I was. Sometimes I was, and it was great when I was.
Because of the people you were working with?
Yeah, or because of the material.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, sometimes I'd work on a new play that really excited me, and I'd be working with the playwright, and I would feel really a part of the creative process. And other times I would feel like a cog in the wheel, and it just – it wasn't pushing me creatively. Whereas when you start acting, you think of that as the most creative role you could possibly be in.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess the goal line just sort of shifted, but I always was very ambitious.
Well, keep running down that field, to extend this metaphor badly. But
Thank you.
This is a really good movie, and congratulations.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Marielle Heller's The Diary of a Teenage Girl is in theaters now.
Wrap your troubles in dreams.